Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So the book of Luke chapter 24, and then we will read verse 16. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. The eyes is referring to some two disciples of Jesus. This incident took place after the resurrection of Christ. And here on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says that their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Why is it that their eyes were restrained so that they didn't know Jesus? The reason is simple. It is because Jesus didn't want them to know him after his physical looks, but he wanted them to know him in the word, in the scriptures. Hallelujah. I must say that there are two ministries that Jesus engaged in after his resurrection. Before his resurrection, he was doing some things, right? After his resurrection, the Bible doesn't give us any record of any other things that he did, that he was doing before, like healing the sick and all that. After his resurrection, he spent quite some time around. He spent a minimum of 40 days on earth before he left. Now, during that time, Jesus ministered in a certain way to believers. He ministered by, number one, unveiling himself, all right? Unveiling himself from the Bible, specifically from the Old Testament. And number two ministry that Jesus engaged in after the resurrection to believers is unveiling the kingdom of God, or the kingdom system, to believers. Acts chapter 1 says that for 40 days he was with his apostles, you know, and he was speaking to them things concerning the kingdom of God. But when he resurrected, like on the road to Emmaus, we see what Jesus is doing. He is trying to take people's attention from his physical looks. Before his resurrection, he was with them in the flesh, physically. After his resurrection, Jesus seems to be like dodging people. He doesn't seem to be like revealing himself to people. All right? He is in an exclusive meeting with his believers, and then he is unveiling himself to them from the scriptures. And number two, he is unveiling the kingdom system to them. Ladies and gentlemen, there is in the Bible something we call the law of first mention. It means that the first thing which is done is showing us God's mind. You know, it's like a prototype. It is like a sample of what he wants to be doing. Hallelujah. So I believe that among believers, what God wants to be doing after the resurrection of Jesus is revealing himself through the scriptures. And number two, revealing his kingdom. This is all that he was doing until he left to heaven. So he restrained the eyes of these two disciples. The name of one is Cleopas. And then in verse 27, the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Beginning at Moses means a beginning from Genesis. Moses wrote those five books, and then we have the rest of the Old Testament. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He started from where? Moses, from Genesis, all throughout to the Old Testament. Jesus expounded to these two disciples in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at verse 32. And they said to one another, this is the reaction of those two disciples, you know, to this post-resurrection ministry of Jesus. And he said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us whilst he talked with us on the road and whilst he opened the scriptures to us? That was what Jesus was doing, opening the scriptures to his disciples. Look at verse 44. This time, he comes to his people, his apostles, and then verse 34 says that, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you whilst I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and all, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Wow. Jesus tells the apostles that all that has been written in the law of Moses from Genesis and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him has to be fulfilled. Verse 45, final scripture. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He opens their understanding so that they will see the things concerning himself, Jesus, in the pages of the Old Testament or in the scriptures. The question I want us to ask ourselves now is that, why is it that Jesus is bent upon unveiling himself through the pages of the Bible to us? Why is this a prototype ministry that must be going on in the church of the Lord? The unveiling of Jesus and unveiling of his kingdom system. Why is this so? The reason is that if we should see Jesus, our lives will be prolonged. In the religious order, when you see God, you die. In the kingdom order, when you see God, your life is prolonged. There is nobody who sees Jesus in the scriptures whose life will not be prolonged. It will be prolonged because Jesus is life. He is the resurrection and the life. So he wants to unveil himself, his resurrected self, ladies and gentlemen, so that what? So that our life will be prolonged. Because when we see Jesus in the scriptures, our health will be enhanced. There is nobody who sees Jesus whose health is not enhanced. Our bodies will be vitalized. Our bodies are going to be quickened just by the revealing or the unveiling of Jesus Christ unto us, because he is life. So when he breaks himself up, he opens himself, he breaks himself, he breaks the scriptures, he is the word of God, and he feeds us with it, his life enters into our life. Hallelujah. When we see Jesus in the scriptures, every confusion in our lives will be dissolved. When we encounter Jesus, there is nothing like, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, because life becomes simplified before you. You see us through a crystal glass. You see life clearly. There is no gray area. You have a certain understanding that brings a calmness into your life. You never struggle for anything. You get to be at rest when you see Jesus in the pages of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is what I want us to do today. Today I want us to move into the book of Psalms, and we are going to see some things that Jesus Christ said about himself. The Bible says that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, and it includes the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Hallelujah. Actually, we are told that the Psalms is the most quoted portion of scripture in the New Testament. That David is the most quoted person in the Bible. Wow, in the New Testament. That should tell us that we can learn a lot about this kingdom system that Jesus ushered the world into from the Old Testament. Indeed, we can comprehend Jesus from the pages of the Old Testament. But a certain spirit is going to help us to do that. And I want to introduce you to that spirit. It's called the Spirit of Christ. Look at the book of Romans chapter 8 and then verse 9. In the Bible, there are three places in the New Testament where we come across the phrase the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's wonderful that before he resurrected, he was called Jesus Christ. But after his resurrection, he was called Christ Jesus. It's powerful. It's wonderful. One day we will talk about that. But in verse 9, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, we come across the first use of the Spirit of Christ. And he says that, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of Christ. In this passage, we see the Spirit of God and we see the Spirit of Christ. Question: what is the Spirit of God, or who is the Spirit of God, I should say, and what is the Spirit of Christ, or who is the Spirit of Christ? The second place where we find the Spirit of Jesus Christ or Christ is in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and then verse 19. Over there, Paul is in prison and he is praying that he comes out of prison, or rather, he is asking the saints to pray, encouraging them that he is going to be free from prison if they pray. But look at verse 19. It says, "For I know this, that it will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." The Spirit of Christ, and then we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul says that I'm going to have deliverance, I'm going to have a breakthrough, I'm going to enjoy health, I'm going to enjoy salvation, you know, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Spirit of Jesus Christ should be increasing. And as your prayers are going on, the Spirit of Jesus is being supplied. I know I am going to be delivered. I'm going to enjoy soteria, or salvation, or deliverance, or protection, or safety. It is the same one Greek word, soteria. Hallelujah. That is translated salvation or deliverance. Now, the third use of the phrase the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. The beautiful thing about the progression of understanding the Spirit of Jesus in the New Testament is that, first of all, it is mentioned in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, and it is mentioned alongside, placed alongside the Spirit of God and then the Spirit of Christ. That's all we know. The second mention, he goes ahead to tell us that if we want salvation or deliverance or soteria or safety or health or breakthrough, whatever, prayer and then the supply, present continuous, of the Spirit of Jesus is going to bring it about. So we see a function, what the Spirit of Jesus Christ can do. Hallelujah. Now, verse 3, the third place where the Spirit of Jesus is mentioned, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11 defines really the Spirit of Jesus. It says concerning the Old Testament prophets. All right,
we'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Look at verse 10. For context, let's start from verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that will follow. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Now, what the scriptures is saying is that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets in the Old Testament. And the Spirit of Christ made them speak in a certain manner. What did the Spirit of Jesus make these prophets say? It made the prophets prophesy about the suffering of Jesus, number one, and then number two, the glories that will follow after the suffering. Wow. So the Spirit of Jesus, or the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Spirit that makes us understand the suffering of Jesus, is the Spirit that testifies or speaks about the suffering of Jesus, and then about the glories that follows after the suffering. Hallelujah! Is there in the scripture? He says that the Spirit of Christ in them testified of the suffering of Christ and then the glory that would follow. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. That means to us that for us to understand what Jesus did for us, for us to understand the suffering of Jesus, what I like to call the performance of Jesus for us, for us to understand it, we must have the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. And receiving the supply of the Spirit of Jesus is going to help us to receive salvation, breakthroughs, everything we are looking for. It comes by a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Spirit of God who is manifest in a way of speaking about the suffering and the glories that follows the suffering of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. The Bible says that if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is none of his. The question that, or what you have to ask yourself now, is that do I have the Spirit of Christ? I didn't say, do you have the Holy Spirit? Or are you anointed? I'm not saying that. I said, do you have the Spirit of Christ? The Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of Christ. That is why they could prophesy and speak concerning Jesus, that when Jesus came physically, he could take the scriptures of the Old Testament, beginning from Genesis, from the law of Moses, and tell them things about himself, which his Spirit had revealed to these prophets before he himself physically came around. His Spirit led the way. There are many times I know that we are told that the Spirit of God was only upon the prophets in the Old Testament. Yes, it is true. But inside of some of them, in fact, I should say inside of them, was the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Is there the Spirit of Christ? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. Within them, made them speak about the suffering of Jesus and the glories that will follow. I want us for a brief moment to look at some of the suffering of Jesus and the glories that follows. Hallelujah. We know them, so let's go through them. The first suffering of Jesus was that all our sins were laid upon him. The Bible says that the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All our sins, it came upon him, and it was a load upon Jesus. If we read about it in the Old Testament, you will get to see it. Hallelujah. But suffice it to say that all our sins, as we know from the scriptures of the Apostle Paul, you know, all our sins were laid upon Jesus. Why? What is the glory that will follow? When all our sins are laid upon him, the glory, a certain glory must follow. What is the glory? The glory of having everlasting righteousness. Wow! You know the person who prophesied about that? Daniel. The Spirit of Christ was in him. When he said in Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 that the Messiah was bringing in everlasting righteousness, making an end of sin, balancing the iniquity account, finishing transgression, and introducing everlasting righteousness. So that is the suffering of Christ and then the glory that will follow. Please put on one off one of the fans. It's making me, putting too much pressure on me, you know, fighting physically. It shouldn't be like that. All right. So that is, this one is the most noisy. That is the Spirit of Christ. The suffering that Jesus underwent was our sins. Okay. And then the glories is everlasting righteousness. It's glorious for you to know as a believer that you have everlasting righteousness. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. Everlasting righteousness is wonderful. Oh, wow. One day we will talk about it. And talk about all the derivatives of righteousness. There you see the priority of righteousness. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added up unto you. There is what is called the priority of righteousness. God's standards, his system, and all these things shall be added. The second suffering of Christ was that he had a short life. You know, Jesus was only 33 years old when he died. Short, he lived short. You know, why? So that you and I can live long. Hallelujah. He lived short that we will live long. Look at the book of Psalm 90. Psalm 90. There is a psalm of Moses. And this is where he tells us about our living a maximum of 80 if we have strength, you know, if you like 80 plus if we have strength. Verse 10 says that the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. It's sad that, you see, even the 80, the 70 and the 80 years says that if even you live 80, all that you can boast about is your work. It's work and sorrow, you know. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to see something in this scripture, that the 70 and the 80 years is a short life. Jesus led a short life so that you will live for long. And by long life, I mean 70 and 80 is short. I know we think that, well, if you've reached 80, it means you have tried. In the kingdom system of Jesus, it is short. Do you know why? Because it is when God is angry with you that you live 70 and 80. Let's look at the scripture. Look at verse 7. This is Moses talking. He says that we have been consumed by your anger, underlying anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you. This is Moses' time, not when Jesus carried our sins. You have set our iniquity before you, our secret sin in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. Wrath means anger. Means God is angry with us. You understand that? We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet our boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as your as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days. Have you seen the number of times anger and wrath is mentioned? Says that the reason why we are living for only 70 and 80 years is because he's consuming us in his anger. Not blessing. You understand that? Hallelujah. The Bible says that on the cross, Jesus Christ did not just take our sins, but he took upon himself every one of the anger of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 9 or so, that being justified freely by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I think we should read that. Romans chapter 5. And then verse 9. It's a scripture that makes us to know that this 70 and 80 years that we are believing God for, it's all glory. It's all the glory that follows the suffering of Jesus. Look at it. Verse 8, for context. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, not anger, in that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood. Justified means declared innocent. No sin on you, because a sin has been put upon Jesus. Having then been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. So we are not under wrath. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that it is finished. The wrath of God is complete. Jesus bore it all on the cross. All the holy anger of God against sin, because he was made sin. And then when it was all over, he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. Hallelujah. So that what? So that you and I can have long life. That is why Psalm 91, which is also a psalm of Moses, following after Psalm 90, he ends it. Let's look at that. Psalm 91. Look at the ending. Moses is ending his psalms. He writes 90 and 91. He is ending it. And then he says that with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Underline my salvation. That my salvation there is the word Yeshua. I'm going to show him Jesus. I'm going to reveal Jesus unto him. Wow. So Moses is ending. He writes two psalms, Psalm 90, and then in Psalm 90 he talks about how our life is short, and then he's ending in Psalm 91, and the very last verse he says that with long life will I satisfy him and show him my Jesus, my salvation. His name is salvation. That's the meaning of Jesus. He shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. Hallelujah. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is why Jesus, or God, kept one man. He's called Simeon in the Bible. The man was old, and God told him that, look, until you see my salvation, until you see my Yeshua, you are not going to die. Now, when he took the baby Jesus in his arms, he says, and now, Lord, I have seen him. That's a reason for long life. I have seen him. Now let me depart in peace. I'm sure he gave Jesus back to Mary and he went to die. Because he's satisfied. Why are we around? It is to see Jesus. I've seen him. I've seen him. He has revealed himself. Now let me go.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.